It's our desire to be the repository of the Mormon Battalion history, and that when people have questions or need information, that we are the organization that's able to have the library and the records that can satisfy that demand. Even though they might not know much about it, for whatever reason, the battalion story just rings a bell with people. It resonates with them, and the more they learn, people become genuinely enthusiastic.
Tonight, I'm excited to introduce season number 4 of our podcast. I'd like to give a little overview for those of you who might be joining us new, so that you can understand how this all got started. This evening, we have Greg Christofferson with us, who is the president of the Mormon Battalion Association. And so he will be visiting with us and sharing some thoughts with us. But I'd like to just share with you how this podcast got started for the 175th anniversary of the battalion's march. I realized that I wanted to try to share with people my experience of hiking along the Mormon Battalion Trail. And as many of you have listened, you'll know that that really hasn't happened. It, as our journey along the battalion trail, this podcast journey has taken unexpected and unplanned trajectories as well. All along the time when I was walking, I just kept wishing that people could meet the people that I had met. And so that's basically what the podcast turned out to be, was our interviewing those who were kind enough to help us and support us and hike with us and just be our support system as we went down the trail. So I haven't really done the women's part of my experience yet, but that will come. So just as a summary, the first season was about the genesis of the trek and how we got started and the things that we did to plan so that we could take the trek. The second season was about our adventures along the trail, the people we met and the things that we saw. Season 3 will be about the women, my experience, as well as interviewing other people who have researched the women or have stories to tell about them. Season 4, I named More because I want to share more about the battalion story by speaking with people who have been very vested and interested in learning the history, sharing the history, and recreating history. Many of them are reenactors that have become experts in their fields in many aspects of reenacting and clothing, weapons, things of that nature. Tonight, I wanted to start it off with visiting with Greg, as I mentioned, so that he can give you a little vision of the Mormon Battalion Association, which is the umbrella organization which has been around for a long time and is responsible for sharing and promoting the history of the battalion, honoring their legacy. I have known them since 2005, and they have had many activities that they've been involved in. Many people have carried the reins and kept things moving, but now Greg is at the head. And so, Greg, welcome to the podcast this evening.
Thanks, Denny. I appreciate you having me on.
Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us what role you have, your previous role?
Well, sure. I am currently serving as president of the Mormon Battalion Association, an organization which was formed back in the 1950s with the goal and the vision statement of keeping the story and the legacy of the battalion alive. Pretty much to Brigham Young's desire that the battalion would always be held in honorable remembrance. I previously, for 2 years, was the vice president of the organization, and my responsibilities, of course, as president, is to direct, under the direction of the board of directors, the activities, the events, the projects, and all of those things that we have planned that the association carries out, and to grow the organization.
So you've been involved for some time with the organization, Greg. How did you even become interested in the battalion to begin with?
Well, I've had an interest in church history, seems like all of my life. I have pioneer ancestors. I tell my grandchildren they're seventh generation on a couple of sides, Mormon pioneers. I have been involved for many, many years in the Mormon History Association, having served on that board twice and involved in presented papers, had articles published, etc. So I've always had a real interest in the history of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and in the role of the pioneers. I got involved in the battalion, interestingly enough, through a friend of mine. We were both living in Orange County and both had an interest in church history. And he was a descendant of Daniel Jones on one side, and I believe another battalion ancestor on the other. And so he started to share with me some of his enthusiasm about the story of the Mormon Battalion. And at that time, there was an organization, still is, I guess, in Orange County. Our main thing is that we marched every year in the San Juan Capistrano Swallows Day Parade as a battalion unit. So we had, to various degrees, the costumes, the guns, whatever you want to say that we marched in that parade. About that time, I got interested in going out on the trail. I found a fellow who, an older gentleman who had a map of how he'd mapped out the trail. And so I started from time to time going out, beginning in Yuma and tracing the trail to San Diego and Los Angeles. And over time, reading the accounts in the journals and trying to be as accurate as possible, I mapped out a tour, as it were, of the Southern California portion of the Mormon Battalion Trail. Also the exit from Los Angeles out through Little Cajon Valley. And various groups were interested. I took tours out on the trail all the way from just maybe one or two other people all the way up to busloads of people who were interested in that. And at the same time, I was asked by the San Diego Boy Scout Council to develop an overnight trek, that hike that the boys could take and earn a patch for doing that. So I grew to love it and to enjoy going out in all, except in midsummer. I enjoyed going out in the winter when it's so hot in the Anza-Borrego in the summer that it's almost impossible. But anyway, so I spent a lot of time doing that. And then I ended up moving to Utah after my wife passed away, moved up here about 5 years ago. And my cousin Jerome Gourley at the time was on the board and then, or an executive staff, and then was the president and asked me to be the vice president. And then when he retired from the presidency and moved on to the board, then I took that position.
Well, I've learned a lot already. I had no idea that you and Kevin were both lovers of the trail.
Yes. People ask me, well, do you have ancestors in the battalion? And I say, no, I don't, but my kids do. My wife is a descendant of the two Allred brothers, James T.S. and Reuben, who were in Company A of the battalion. So, well, I don't have a direct ancestor. My children do.
Oh, and I know Ellis Allred. Wow, small world. As the new president, then, what excites you the most about the possibilities for what can be accomplished? You said it's been around the group for a long time. So what is your vision?
I have been fortunate to be the president during our 175th anniversary year. I came in about a year and a half ago. And that is a whole wonderful story in itself of all of the activities and events and special things that happened in our 175th anniversary year, the demi-semi-sep-centennial of the battalion.
It seems like to me, as I've observed the organization throughout these years, that there's been a real new interest in the cohesiveness or inclusiveness of a number of groups that's really moving things along. So what do you feel has lit the spark to ignite this recent interest and engagement?
I think that the events leading up to and everything that happened in the 175th anniversary year really is that spark. I think that's what it is. The couple of years leading up to it, 4 years, I'd say, once the research project started, and then the last year itself has probably brought the battalion to the attention of more people than it has been, you know, since the 1950s. A number of other entities had given us money, given us grants for the various things that we did in last year. And I had sent them a final grant report thanking them, the grantees, for what they had done, the various foundations and family organizations. And just some of the highlights were we created 25,000 brochures, which are basically all gone. We just have a few left. We're going to reprint. We're distributed at six church historic sites and museums and visitor centers, traveling battalion trail. That's been very successful. We sponsored or participated in events in nine different states with symposiums and presentation, reenactments, trail excursions. We completed the project I had told you about, verifying all of the battalion, not just the battalion soldiers, but all the women and the children who accompanied them. And then we were a big, huge part of the San Diego weekend in January of 2022. We presented a symposium with wonderful speakers in connection with the Oregon California Trails Association Winter Conference. And then we had the outfitting march of 335 men and boys representing the 335 who made it to California, and the five women who did. We were the leading parade entry in the Days of 47 parade last July. But one of the things that was most out to me in the year of so many outstanding things is that we commissioned an original symphonic composition from a well-known composer, award-winning composer, Marden Pond. And that was both recorded in studio and put on a DVD, CD, but also was presented in front of a live audience in the tabernacle on Temple Square, where it was performed with an orchestra and readers. And Elder D. Todd Christofferson of the Quorum of the Twelve introduced the evening and gave remarks about the battalion. And it was just thrilling when the Salt Lake Temple's rededicated, and they have a number of events. We hope to replicate that performance again. Gosh, we received the Humanities Grant to hire storytellers to write and perform about the women in the Mormon Battalion. We've added lots of things to the YouTube. We had articles published in the Church News, LDS Living, Mormon History Associated Publications. I, Elder Christofferson, participated in interviews on television and radio. So it was quite a year. So that's a long answer to your short question, but I wanted to get some of those things to talk about those things so you can see why many have become more enthusiastic and knowledgeable about the battalion because of all those events that took place in our 175th anniversary year.
It was an incredible year, and you guys did such a wonderful job of getting out there and getting everything organized and getting to events and getting people excited about the story. So
Thank you.
I was lucky enough to be able to have heard the symphonic piece. And so I'm hoping to interview Marden Pond about his experience with that. And he had said that he would do that for me. So
great. It's our desire to be the repository of the Mormon Battalion history, and that when people have questions or need information, that we are the organization that's able to have the library and the records that can satisfy that demand.
Oh, that would be great. Well, you've got a lot of things that you've got in progress right now. So what do you feel personally is one of the greatest challenges for the organization at this point?
It's the challenge that seems to face most associations, organizations, even service clubs like Kiwanis or Rotary. And that is the aging of the members in the organization. The younger generations don't have quite the same interest in being part of an organization. They're much more, do it on their own. They're very interested in things that provide service, and that's wonderful. But we overcame to some extent that problem in the Mormon History Association by being able to attract some of the new young scholars and getting a board which is now much more reflective of the younger generation of historians. We kind of need to do that same thing with the Mormon Battalion Association to attract a larger and overall younger demographic to our association. I'd say that's our biggest challenge.
I'd say that's a great, great challenge to overcome. There are a lot of really bright young people out there that have interests, but I just don't think that many of them realize that those interests could be put to work in something like this.
That's right.
You mentioned that you and I are not spring chickens. So what are some thoughts that you have other than to reach out to some of these young academics to try to encourage the young people to hop into the history of the Mormon Battalion and become the next generation of experts?
First of all, we need to get in front of them, especially those young historians. Conference before last of the Mormon History Association, we had an entire panel on the battalion, and we generally have at least a presentation at the MHA conferences. It's our goal to have more of that, to become a permanent fixture relative to a session each time. At each conference, the Mormon Battalion Association, or the Mormon History Association, I'm sorry, Denny. Too many associations. also, perhaps in such venues as the Western History Association, where some papers have been presented. We are also, as I mentioned, very involved with the Oregon-California Trails Association. So we're taking every opportunity and trying to create opportunities with these historical organizations that have young scholars to help them understand the story and get enthused about it. As far as the general public is concerned, again, we feel like if we are the repository for the accurate history and information about the battalion, that people become attracted to that, then they, you know, want to be part of the organization. So it's just going to be an ongoing effort to attract the next generation of people who are as enthused about the battalion as we are.
It's a challenge, isn't it? And I think the more hands-on you can give them, the more involved they get and the more they internalize the story and the experiences that the original battalion had. I know that's the case for us when we did the Living History event here in Bay City. Those kids loved the battalion and the things that they took away from spending 2 or 3 days living like a battalion member as close as we could,
right,
change their perspective dramatically on things.
15 young men out in Tooele have an interest in participating next summer in our Days of 47 parade and whatnot. So,
perfect.
You know, I mean, it's that kind of thing. Our other executive director, Tom Griggs, frequently makes presentations. And even though the LDS Church is no longer involved with the Boy Scouts, there are active Boy Scout units in lots of places. And we still offer a battalion neckerchief slide or other things in recognition of Eagle Scouts, et cetera. So we're working at it.
One of the funny things that I thought on our trek was we would be, you know, out in Kansas or New Mexico, and people were bussing their kids up to Martin's Cove. And we were like, you were like 5 miles from the Mormon Battalion Trail. So it was kind of a funny juxtaposition there for the two trails and the two stories.
Yep.
Didn't recognize they had it right there in their backyard.
Well, when we first became involved with the Partnership for the National Trail System, I can't tell you how many people at the conference said to me, well, you already have a Mormon Trail, a National Historic Trail. In fact, the Mormon Pioneer Trail was, I believe, the second or third out of the now 20 National Historic Trails that are recognized in the country. So, you know, we already have that trail. Well, no, this is a different trail. And yeah. Once we have the opportunity to inform them about it, then again, people become enthusiastic. Yeah, that's important. You should do that.
Well, that's your biggest challenge. What do you feel like is your greatest opportunity at this point?
I think our greatest opportunity is to fully tell the battalion story. It's in lots of different places in church history. And people, you know, everybody seems to have heard of it. Even when you go to, I know I had a cousin and his wife who were on a mission in Albania, and they did a trek, and the Mormon Battalion story was part of that trek, for heaven's sake. So even in the worldwide church, the story of the battalion has some resonance. I think that as we continue to develop the resources so people can get the true story and the full story, that the battalion story will become even more relevant in the history of the church.
I hope so. I agree with you. That's what we found on our trek, was that people had heard of it, but they knew very, very little about it. So it would be fun. It'll be great to be able to have those resources available and expand that knowledge base for people.
Right.
one of the things that we learned, which we didn't realize, was that several locations along the trail now have specific displays in their museums about the Mormon Battalion because they were educated about what they did in that area. And that they
That's correct. Through. That's correct. And just by way of interest, just in the past week or so, the California Archaeological Department and their history department has found a brick of the bricks that the battalion fired and put into a well in San Diego.
Oh, wow.
And those will soon be prominently displayed. So yeah, it's really fun.
Well, when I went on my trek, there were a lot of surprises that I did not expect. As you have become involved with the battalion and have interacted with people and been on committees and learned about projects, what's something that surprised you?
I think I would say I was surprised at the enthusiasm for the battalion among so many people. Even though they might not know much about it, for whatever reason, the battalion story just rings a bell with people. It resonates with them. And the more they learn, people become genuinely enthusiastic. At our event the weekend in San Diego, the last weekend of January of 2022, literally thousands of people came to the events of that weekend, the battalion, and hundreds marching, and civic leaders and state legislators and others who presented plaques and proclamations, and it's just amazing to me the enthusiasm that people have for the battalion, whatever their level of understanding of the history is.
I think that's so true. That was one of the things we definitely learned on our trek, and I'll give you an example of that. When we were getting closer to California, we stayed in an RV park. And of course, whenever we stayed in state parks or RV locations, we offered to give presentations to the people that were there. And we went up to the fellow who owned the park and said, you know, we're here, this is what we're doing. We gave him a brochure and a flyer and said, we would love to share this story with the people that are here in your park. And he said, I don't think so. And then We talked to him a little bit longer, and he said, okay, I guess it'll be okay if you do that. But that night when we were gathering people around in the RV clubhouse, so to speak, he showed up and sat through the whole presentation. And by the time Kevin was done, he came up and he was like, could you do this again tomorrow? I'll go tell everybody that you're here. And so his perspective of the Mormon Battalion changed dramatically once he learned a little bit about it and what they had done. So I think I can amen to what you say about that. The enthusiasm just crops up, you know, unsolicited once they get a little bit of information.
It really does. You know, especially down in San Diego, it seems that whenever you hear the mayor or some politician give a talk and they talk about how the spirit of the battalion is still there when they talk about service, you know, it's really interesting that people recognize that aspect of it so much.
We know that many members of the church don't really know the battalion story well, but many people in the general public feel like, oh, when they hear the name, oh, this is a Mormon story, or a story that just relates to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints history, not our nation's history. How could you respond to perhaps a reaction like that?
Well, once they get a basic understanding of the role of the battalion, then that kind of goes away, where they come to see it as part of the nation's history, the nation's fabric. Once they understand the battalion, the enlistment for the war with Mexico, the battalion was a part of the larger U.S. Army of the West. When you can explain to people that the wagon road that to California that the battalion created ended up being the genesis of so many things, including the Gadsden Purchase and other things where the United States, the territory of the United States was greatly expanded, and that California became California because the battalion was there for the period of time that they were to hold it as the military representatives of the United States government. Once people get the whole history, the historical picture, and see how the battalion fits in, and then you can give them an understanding of the Mormon history behind it, why the battalion was where it was, having been forced out of Illinois and crossed Iowa, why they were there in Council Bluffs, etc., why it was that many men were in one place in a position to be recruited into the battalion, enlisted in the battalion, etc. I mean, it all ties together in the larger picture of U.S. history. And once people get that, then it's no longer just a Mormon story. It's a very important part of the expansion, territorial expansion of the United States that took place in the mid 1800s.
It's true. Their vision just, whoa, their eyes open up wide and they were like, oh, I had no idea, right?
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're basically, I think we're a service organization, but I think above everything, we're an educational organization to get the correct understanding of the battalion, both within the church and without. So after the successes of the 75th year, we have several very important projects that are underway, expanding the membership of the battalion through improving our website, putting links there where people can use our website to get their historical information if they have an ancestor of the battalion on who that might be. We're also actively involved in the renovation of one of the most important battalion monuments along the trail in Butterger's, New Mexico. This is a monument that was put up by church members in New Mexico back in the 1940s, actually in 1940 is when it was originally erected. And there have been some problems over time. We're looking to put some plaques alongside of it that will give more historical background and context to it. I'll be working with New Mexico historic people plus Native American interests and Latino interests in order to make that monument more accessible and viable to people today. We're working on that project jointly with the Church History Department and the Office of the Presiding Bishopric of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They're involved, will be involved in helping us fund that project. We're very actively working on that. We are also a partner in the partnership for the National Historic Trail System, and what will be the effort, or hopefully the end result, in getting the Mormon Battalion Trail recognized as a National Historic Trail. And there are a tremendous amount number of benefits that come with that. That's a fairly long-term process, but we already have enlisted the aid of some Congress people along the way, and we have the full backing partnership with the Oregon California Trails Association, and also within the partnership for the National Trail System itself. So we've got a full head of steam on that, recognizing that that is a process that takes usually quite a significant period of time, but we're laying the groundwork for it, and others may have to carry it on. We're also just in the thinking stages of perhaps expanding our footprint at the This Is the Place Monument Park in Salt Lake City. The battalion now has a room in the in one of the buildings, but we're looking at perhaps doing something of a larger nature in that. So yeah, we got plenty of projects. We're plenty busy.
It sounds like it. And that's one of the things that I think has been so exciting to watch in the recent past, how so much research and effort has been put into pinning down accurate information about the Mormon Battalion. And we're going to actually interview some of those people that have been involved with those projects and get the backstory on how that all came about and some of the exciting things that they've been able to discover that way.
Yes, it'll be terrific to have you interview our executive director, Laura Anderson, and others who were involved in a multi-year project which we had funded from various other organizations to enable us to finally determine exactly who truly was in the battalion and to do the biographical sketches. So I'll leave that up to Laura.
With all these things that you've been doing right now with this year, what do you think is one of the most significant projects that you would like people to get behind to support you?
Well, we'd like them to join the organization, join the association. We will have a need for some funding relative to some of these projects. And while the organization is financially healthy, we need further funds dedicated to rehabilitation of the New Mexico Monument and the storyboards that we want to put there. We've already got some commitments, but we will need more funding. We would like to get funding for our trail designation committee. There are trips that need to be made back and forth to Washington, D.C. and other things, conferences, etc., where we raise the flag and keep it raised for this long-term project of getting a national trail designation. So yeah, we just would like to get more members and more money.
It always takes money to get things moving.
It does.
If you don't have time or you feel like you don't have talents that you're comfortable sharing, reach into your pocketbook and send some money to the battalion, and you can help out that way as well.
Right. And we have organized an endowment. We had a wonderful initial gift that has started the funding in that endowment. And we're completely transparent with our funding. So if people want to donate to the organization or even to a specific project, we are more than happy to share where every penny of those funds go.
Perfect.
If you go to our website, there's a button at the top that says join or renew or donate. We'd love to have you join and donate.
And so what are some of the benefits that people get when they join the battalion, Greg?
We have every other month, we have a newsletter that brings you up to date on our various projects and also new things that are happening. We have also every other month a general membership meeting, which features a little bit of business, but most of that meeting is dedicated to a guest presenter who present extremely interesting topics relating to the battalion. We've had, you know, some really exciting presentations that have been made there, and we will continue to do that. And so one of the benefits is that you're totally up to date with what the association is doing, what the very latest things are in research and publication on the Mormon Battalion. Other benefits is that we provide the information on events that are taking place around in Yuma, San Diego, back in Council Bluffs, all the way along the trail. We keep you updated as to all the events that are going on, that if you live in that area, you can go and participate in those things. So yeah, we feel like the benefits of just a regular membership, $30 membership, and you have access to our store where we have some Mormon Battalion, you know, hats and pins and memorabilia and other things. So if you have any interest in the battalion, we feel like we're the place to go to keep you updated on exactly what's happening in our events and our research, et cetera.
And I can agree with that. I've sat through some of the presentations and they're excellent. Very fascinating, very knowledgeable people being willing to share what they've learned and worked so hard to discover.
Right.
Do you have a favorite person in the battalion? Is there a person that kind of stuck in your heart?
Yeah, there's Daniel Tyler, of course, wrote the book that probably most people are familiar with about the history of the battalion. But he wrote well, and I would say that he's probably my favorite person just because, having read his words and having the battalion experience come to life through his words, has become a favorite of mine. And so when I take people out on the trail, I read from different journals and from Cook's journal, the military history. But Daniel Tyler seems to be the one that I kind of lean on telling the story. So yeah, he's one of my favorites. He just wrote so well. Just for example, when I'm out on the trail, one of the places that I can get kind of emotional is standing on the Carrizo Badlands Overlook in the Anza Borrego Forest. And you look out and you can see the dry Carrizo Creek bed and understand, and as you read the experience out of the journals of the battalion and out of Cook's journals, the suffering that the men went through, it just tears at your heart. He's talking about as they reach the Carrizo and then they're starting up the dry creek bed. He says, the road is very sandy. 20 mules gave out and were left to take care of themselves. As usual, the night was very cold and half-naked men suffered for want of more and better clothing. The contrast between an almost tropical sun in the daytime and a December cold atmosphere at night was hurtful and weakening to both man and beast. We continued our march. The Indians call the region the Hot Land, a name which strikes the writer as being quite appropriate, as it is by far the hottest region he ever saw. We continued our march 20 miles further on the Carrizo. We found our first running water since the Colorado River. The march of the last 5 days was the most trying of any we had made on both men and animals. Language fails to provide adjectives strong enough to describe our situation. It must be left to the reader to picture it. And he goes on to talk about how when they finally reached Palm Spring, where there was running water, how the men who were stronger filled their canteens and walked back down the trail miles to revive them. He said many of the men were so nearly used up from thirst, hunger, and fatigue, they were unable to speak until they reached the water or had it brought to them. Those who were the strongest when they arrived reported they had passed by many lying exhausted on the wayside. Among whose number was the author. I find it so interesting that literally 2 days later, after they have their ballast, which is an oasis basically out in that desert, that Cook says in his journal, he was surprised at seeing the half-starved, worn-out men who only the night before had, quote, staggered into camp like so many inebriates from sheer exhaustion and hunger, now playing the fiddle and singing merry songs.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that remarkable? And one other favorite of mine, I guess, has become not a member of the battalion, but a doctor who was with the Army in San Diego. And I'm sorry if I'm making noise here, but let me just go to his...
While you're finding that,
yes.
As you were reading those quotes about Carrizo Creek, I was going back in my mind. The thing that struck me the most was when we got to that location, and even by Aceto Valley, impact it had on me as I was standing there and smelling that water,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that they had gone so long without water and so far, and then they had to have the stench of the only water anywhere.
Yes, yes.
It's just heartbreaking.
Other favorites is Dr. John S. Griffin, who was the a doctor with the Army in San Diego. And he's the one that a fairly famous quote where he talks about the battalion men when they arrived in San Diego, of course, not having uniforms and their clothes worn out, that they were half naked. But he came to really admire the battalion. I guess one of the left-handed compliments is he said, after the Mormons finally got paid, you know, in May, payment they were supposed to have gotten much, much earlier, he said, the Mormons, after their payment, took a little spree. Some few men drunk and one or two black eyes or small fights occurred, but much less drinking occurred among them than I've ever witnessed among any troops after a payment. So I guess that's a compliment. But what I find particularly touching, it ties into the story of Lydia Hunter. Lydia Hunter was the wife of Jesse D. Hunter, who became the commanding officer in San Diego. And they'd been married for 15 months. She was pregnant from the whole trip, the whole 6 months from Leavenworth to California. It's just amazing to me. But she died on April 26, 1847, just 2 weeks after giving birth to a son who they named Diego. And there are several entries in various battalion members' journals about her. She was universally loved, called an estimable lady. But here's what Griffin wrote. Last night, the wife of Captain Hunter died of typhoid fever, or rather, I think, of a malignant form of quotidian fever, they called it. And that was Q-U-O-T-I-D-I-A-N, quotidian fever. That was the name they gave to anything. They didn't know what it was. The attack was issued in with severe rigors some 6 days ago, with great difficulty of breathing and oppression, followed by high fever. About 11 a.m. each day, the same attack came with cramps and irregular nervous twitchings, serious diarrhea, mind affected, purgative of calomel. Her breasts became inflamed and 4 deaths superated. The nervous twitching were stopped by the use of small doses of morphine and asafoetida, the chill checked by quinine. Her brain became very much excited. Delirium for 2 days previous to her death and deafness. She finally died last night about 10 p.m. in great pain. This was the first American woman who ever lived in San Diego. And then he calls her an estimable woman. I you know, it's hard to not have tears in your eyes when you read something like that.
Oh my goodness.
Overall, the story of the battalion, of course, is an extremely positive story. An extremely positive story. And the citizens in San Diego, for example, when Company V was their service there was over and they marched up to Fort Moore in Los Angeles, they just, one battalion member reports that the local people clung to them like children, begging them not to leave. They were, various petitions were sent to the government to keep the Mormon battalion there, or Company B in San Diego, the battalion in Los Angeles. So it's an extremely positive story and has, you know, we could go on all night about what Brigham Young called the financial salvation of the church and other things that came about because of the battalion. So it's a heroic and wonderful story for the men and women who were involved in it.
I agree. What an example. Well, if you had to sum up your feelings about the benefits of your involvement and interest in the battalion story and what that's brought into your life, with one word, what would it be and why?
The word admiration comes to my mind. The admiration that I have for those who are willing to accept what they consider to be not a military calling, but a priesthood calling to serve the church in their country, admiration for the sacrifices that they made, the money that they sent back to their families and to the leadership of the church, and then just the sheer story of carrying out their military assignment of creating this wagon road between Tucson and California and all of the benefits that came with that. And then the admiration I have for their willingness to then complete the circle of going up to the Salt Lake Valley, finding that there was not sufficient food for them to stay there through the winter, but most of them were going to go back to Iowa anyway to find their families and bring them the next season or the season after back to the Salt Lake Valley. My goodness, just the stamina, but it's a story of faith is what it is. And so the admiration that I have for the battalion members and the mission of the battalion increases my faith.
And how exciting that you get to help preserve and share that story and faith even more now, right? And your current responsibility.
It's an honor. It's an honor.
This has been great, Greg. Is there anything else that you would like to say to the people that might be listening and trying to learn more about your organization and how they can get involved?
Sure. Just go to our website, MormonBattalion.com, and we invite you to join with us in this great adventure. And we are here to help you in any way that you like, that you would need to become, to find your ancestors if you had any battalion, and to learn their stories more fully if you don't know them already, but also just to enjoy being part of an organization that celebrates one of the great events in both LDS and U.S. history.
Well, I would like to encourage everyone to do the same. It is a great group of people. They're excited, they're dedicated, they're knowledgeable, and they are always looking for the facts so that they can give you the accurate story and information about the battalion. Thank you very much, Greg. We appreciate it.
Denny, it's been my pleasure. You and Kevin, your husband, of course. Kevin is the chairman of the board of the Battalion Association, and you guys have been absolute leaders and lights to the rest of us in all that you have done relative to defining the trail and perpetuating the battalion's story. So you guys are pioneers among pioneers.
Well, thank you. We all have our own interests, and when we all come together, then that's when things happen, right?
That's right. That's correct.
So thank you very much, and everybody get on that website. Find out who you're related to in the battalion and join the organization.
Thanks, Denny.